Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Broadcasting live from the WMGNA headquarters in Farmington, Connecticut. I'm Daniel J. Friedman, and welcome to True Success Radio. Delighted to have Christopher Elliott, CPA and partner at Adam San Martino CPAs, on for this edition of Tax Talk. Also, as always, shout out to my able-bodied producer, Melody Simpson. So without further ado, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Hopefully this dreary day turns into a ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Maybe it will be sunny later. Okay, so we'll get right to it. Got a lot of information to cover. So while people are out there getting their tax stuff ready, and we're working with Chris and the firm, I'm working on my taxes, Melody's working on hers, and we got the good privilege of helping a bunch of other folks do their taxes. Let's talk about security and scams to watch out for this season, Chris. On the security front, we're hearing a lot about the IP program. Mm-hmm. What is the IP program, and who and how does it affect us?
So, in theory, the IRS developed this IPIN program about a year and a half to 2 years ago, and essentially what was happening was a lot of people were, a lot of these scam artists were obtaining taxpayers' Social Security numbers and going and filing bogus returns, both at the federal and state level. And, they were stealing refunds, and a lot of innocent taxpayers were victimized as a result of that. So they developed this IPIN program, and essentially it's each person is given a unique PIN, and that PIN number has to be used to file your tax return. So whether you use a preparer or do it on TurboTax or do it yourself, you can't file your return without this PIN number, and the IRS will send that once a year, and it changes every year. So it's a nice way to protect you. It's a tax form called 14039, and you basically file it with your return. You put a copy of your driver's license in it, sign it, and then they'll enter you into the IPIN program. And it's eligible for people who have had identity theft issues or identity issues, or even people that don't. I mean, I did it. I've never had an identity breach, knock on wood, but it's a nice protection. So this IPIN program is highly recommended for just about anybody that files a tax return.
Is there any cost associated with that if I wanted to sign up for that, or if I've already signed up for it, is there a cost to taxpayers?
There is zero cost. It's a great program. I think it's going to be, something that people need to seriously consider, because there are a lot of people out there who purposely, allow themselves to get refunds on their tax return. And, when you're at that point, a lot of these crooks, they could steal your refund, delay it, and sometimes I have clients that have never even gotten their refund from 3 or 4 years ago. So it's zero cost. It's a great program. Highly recommended.
Excellent, excellent. Also, just to let everyone know, 646-668-8397 is the call-in number. Or you can email while we're doing this live to daniel@wmgna.com. Again, 646-668-8397 is the call-in number for your questions. Call now. We've got Chris, really great CPA, really great guy. So we had we've been talking about security, secure emails and portals, and we're all enhancing our security as we communicate with clients and with colleagues and with each other. We've been using a portal. With Chris and some other strategic partners of ours to communicate information, documents, discuss things in a more secure manner. Chris, how do you feel about using those portals and enhanced email security? And what suggestions would you have when people, again, are communicating with their tax preparers and tax advisors on getting this information back and forth securely?
Well, you know, number one, these portals and the secure mail are, you know, really outstanding ways in how to transmit data. I know wealth management has a great portal system, and we at some point are going to develop a portal system. Most CPA firms are getting to that platform now, and the host of those is our tax return software provider, Creative Solutions. So it's a great way. You can't really trust people out there with all these crooks and what people are doing. I mean, everything that we transmit, anytime that there's a bank account information, a social security number, we, number one, send it via secure mail. And number two is it's masked, meaning that, if you see a bank account information, you're going to see asterisk, and then the last four digits of your social or your bank account information. So it's kind of an extra layer of encryption. Whenever you are transmitting anything tax-related, you need to, number one, make sure that, you're sending it via secure mail. Number two is you really need to spend a lot of time, and you need to pay careful attention as to making sure that email that is coming from that person is really that person. I was telling Dan before, I get a lot of emails from people. I also get a lot of emails with which emails are hacked. And I get people that will send emails from a hacked email that it's the image of that client asking for tax return information. I will never respond to that until I can accurately credential that person. So I think we all need to be very careful. Identity theft is the biggest crime out there, and it's very difficult to stop. But, pay close attention to, the emails that you're sending, the data. If it's got a portal system, they're really secure, really ironclad. Just don't send stuff unsecure. It's you're too vulnerable, and, the World Wide Web has a lot of people just dying to get your information out there. Definitely recommend that as you're kind of transmitting your data.
Excellent. One thing that how about for folks who are doing their own taxes online via an online tax preparer? One of the national, we won't name them, but some folks have a pretty simple deal. I went ahead and took care of my two young adult sons who had some, and we did that online. I did that here with Darlene. What about those online?
Well, I think the underlying issue is not necessarily with them, but it's with where the location as to where you're doing your tax return. So, for example, if you're doing it at home or you're doing it at a friend's house or somewhere, you're doing it through some type of internet connection, whether it's a wireless internet or, a hardwired connection. So a lot of times the issue lies where you have a weak Wi-Fi connection. Somebody can mirror that and watch what you're doing and, your data. So I think a lot of times these providers, the big providers like the TurboTaxes of the world and H&R Block Online, they have their security patches in place with respect to protecting your data. But I think the issue lies as to where the source of that data is coming from. And if you're in Panera Bread doing a tax return and somebody's sitting right next to you, if they have the ability, if they're intelligent enough, they can mirror that Wi-Fi connection and steal your data. So I think you just need to be careful.
There are people, And there are people intelligent enough. It's not that it's.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to be careful when you're doing it.
That, but there are people who are.
Yeah. No, it's a big issue. I strongly suggest that wherever you're doing it, make sure that your computer infrastructure and your wireless internets are secured, password, have all the protective valves in place. Because when you're doing something like that, you just got you can't trust people. Unfortunately, it's just too
right.
disturbing, especially with what's going on.
Right. Well, thank you. Okay, so let's touch on we talked about identity theft, and we recently had someone who last year was on extension, and we went before the October 15th deadline, shortly before that. Don't recommend that. Don't try that at home. Get your taxes done before the October 15th final deadline. Causes too much stress for everybody. And we went and filed, and we found out that someone had already filed their tax return for them. So what do you do when you find out that someone that you're working with has had their tax return compromised? What is the directive that you give them as to how to protect their information?
Well, first of all, the IRS on the IRS website has a great checklist that you can refer to that kind of gives you some basic steps. But typically, I am a bit more overkill with this. I normally recommend they file a police report to report the theft or the breach. You then go to the credit bureaus, Equifax, credit card, and TransUnion there. There's three credit bureaus that you notify them and red flag your accounts to make sure that, the breach doesn't go farther than what it is. So you do that. You go to your banking institutions, you go to your financial institutions, you notify everybody and basically flag your accounts. And then what you need to do is you need to contact the IRS, and they will, there's an entire checklist that they'll go through with you to report the instance and also to kind of provide guidance. They've been getting better at this. I had a client last year that got her data compromised. It was part of one of the insurance companies, Anthem, I believe. And, you know, so what happens is when a preparer electronically files the return, we know instantly whether a return has been already filed or there is a discrepancy. So, you know, we instantly tell the client there, and then you contact the IRS. And in this client's case, it took her about 8 months, and she finally got her refunds. So I think you need to kind of be very protective, and it's also recommended to get some type of identity protection software, like a LifeLock or a ThefGuard, just to kind of, you know, additional layers of protection. And most of these outfits that have these data compromises will pay for that for you for a period of time. So those are things that I kind of recommend. I mean, it's unfortunate, but you'll get your money. It's just a question of how long. But, you know, it just comes back to the underlying issue of making sure that you're careful as to who you're working with, where your data is coming from, and protecting that to the best of your ability.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. Yes, and we did resolve that issue to a satisfactory and positive result. Now, one of the things that is also out there, and this seems to be in plain sight, nothing behind the scenes, is return preparer fraud. So you hear a lot of advertisements. There's stuff on, of course, online about how, you know, such and such outfit will do your taxes and get you a bigger refund and get you your money quicker than someone else. How does a consumer credentialize that person? Are there credentials that the IRS provides or some regulatory saying that, yes, Adam San Martino, Christopher Elliott, they've got this, and this is what you need to look for, sort of a buyer beware. If you're dealing with someone who doesn't have any of these things that, you know, safeguards, then you're sort of out in the Wild West on your own, and, you know, shame on you for working with someone like that.
You know, Dan, I really wish there was. You know, I've been doing this for 18 years, and, you know, I have come across some superb CPAs and some superb accountants and enrolled agents. And unfortunately, there is a breed of some of them that are not exactly up to the level that we would expect as a return preparer. I think that a lot of times, and I think in your industry, you learn this from a gentleman named Bernie Madoff, is when anybody ever guarantees anything to you, that's when you kind of turn around and you walk away. Unfortunately, there's no guarantees in any type of, you know, service, whether it's return preparation and expectation of guarantees of refunds or guarantees of returns in your line of business, Dan. I think you need to ask a lot of questions. I think you need to, you know, scope them. You know, just because somebody is the cheapest tax preparer out there doesn't mean that they're the right solution for you. I think that when you're searching for a person, you need to ask a lot of questions. Our practice is pretty much referral-based. So I let my clients and a lot of our strategic partners do a lot of the, you know, vetting and pre-screening of my client, of these clients coming in here, because, you know, I want to let them know that, you know, I'm legitimate, number one. Number two, I take a lot of pride in what I do. So I think you need to ask a lot of questions. Unfortunately, there are good preparers out there, and there are some not so good preparers out there. I think you need to not always focus on the cheapest alternative, but focus on the value, the quality, the reputation, the asking around of colleagues and friends, and you know, their presence. Because I can tell you that there's a lot of good ones out there. There really is. And for all of us, I take pride in the CPA designation. I really do. And I believe that everybody should be using a certified public accountant to do a tax return.
Touche. Yeah. Me too. I don't remember the last tax return that I had prepared. Going back to, you know, way back when. All right. We're, as we always do when we chat, it just seems that the time eludes us. There's a bunch of things that I want to touch on. So let's, if we can do a little word association maybe, or sentence association on some things that people are out there. So you hear phone scams. What do you say, Chris?
When I hear phone scams, I caution people and just say, listen, the IRS typically will never call you like that. I would say that it's a massive problem out there. It's happening to everybody, including us. We're getting phone scammers calling us directly. So
yep.
Ask a lot of questions.
So IRS. If someone says they're calling from the IRS, hang up on them.
Hang up on them.
All right.
Hang up on
them. How about,
and call back the 1-800 number. That's
okay, exactly. How about phishing? PH.
Phishing. Yeah. Well, like I said, when you're seeing phishing, like I said, people are searching for all this information. Just be wary about sites you're going to, where you're looking for data. A lot of times, make sure you got good antivirus softwares and things to protect, and making sure that, you know, whoever's sending emails to you, make sure you credential them as to who they are. I always suggest calling.
And like you said, with the phone, the IRS will the IRS email you asking for information or
never.
No? So again, someone says they're emailing from the IRS, delete it. Get rid of it.
Delete it. Delete it.
Okay.
I delete everything that I don't know. Yeah.
How about offshore tax avoidance? What comes to mind when you hear that?
Just stay away from it. That's the best way I can say. I mean, you know, it's too risky there. you're seeing less and less of this, but there are still companies out there that try to sell this. The way the international tax system is going now, you need to go to a legitimate, you want to look at tax strategy, go to a credentialed tax attorney or go to your CPA to talk about the advice, but offshores are just highly discouraged in what we do. They're too risky.
We again, inflated refund claims. What do you, what word comes to your mind?
Inflated refund claims. Well, you know, I could tell you that this is a massively underlying problem. I could talk for hours with you, but this gets to, and try to sum this up very simply, is, you know, individuals are doing returns. Individuals have qualifications. Some know the tax law, some don't. And I am a big proponent of people who are preparing their own returns that do not have the skills to be able to prepare their own return and to read it. We amend a lot of tax returns prepared by individuals, and like I said, it's a massive problem. So,
okay.
Related returns, have a prepare do them. Have a credential prepare
right.
do them.
All right, we've got about 8.5 minutes here. Falsely padding deductions on returns.
Well, that's, like I said, a massive problem, and it gets to when you're doing your own tax return, or even when you're talking that, sitting down with
Chris,
your tax
return. I hear a lot of people out there saying that I will get you deductions that your person isn't getting. What comes to your mind again when we hear about these padding deductions on returns?
Well, I mean, you know,
the word that comes to my mind is audit. It is fraud.
Well, yeah, audit, and liability, and exposure, and unnecessary. You know, if you get audited, the time that, you know, that you're going to have to dedicate to that, and dealing with the IRS in the state of Connecticut, they're rough. They're rough.
Okay.
All
right.
So,
yep. Go ahead.
Good. I'm all. Yep. That's it.
Okay. Excessive claims for business credits.
Yeah, happens a lot. Happens a lot. The businesses, like I said, are a little bit more. They tend to be a little bit more aggressive on that side. So, you know, again, it's documentation. No documentation. No deduction allowed on a return. You always have to anticipate you're going to get audited if you're a business owner. And, you know, like I said, you got to follow the procedures. You want to avoid the red flags, avoid the stuff that stands out like a sore thumb, and be very careful about, number one, who your bookkeeper is, and making sure that you understand all the changes that are going on in the tax code and how it impacts you.
So, yeah, to touch on this, so I go ahead, I turn this over to a very aggressive or not so reputable CPA.
Mm-hmm.
IRS comes back and I said, you know what? I had a CPA prepare this for me. I shouldn't get in trouble. What does the IRS say?
The IRS is, honestly, the IRS is, they are concerned about preparer liability, but they're more concerned about the responsible party with any tax return is that tax preparer. That taxpayer. So most CPAs,
so
most accountants.
Repeat that again. So I use a professional tax preparer, CPA or other, someone else that I'm paying.
Correct.
Something is not kosher.
Yep.
Who gets in the most amount of trouble?
The taxpayer. The taxpayer is responsible for
taxpayer.
The taxpayer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for clarifying that. Couple more minutes. There's a couple more things. It's really important stuff. Want to make sure we touch on it. Fake charities. Again,
yes.
Those seem to be this time of year also popping up.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're popping up. Like I said, it's very simple. I mean, any type of charity you make a donation for, they will request a copy of their certification of their nonprofit status. And then online, they have a list of all qualified charities. It's all public information, so you can certify that very simply. But other than that, you know the brand names, you know the Goodwills and this and the Salvation Armies and the churches and the organizations like that. But if you ever have a question, always ask the question of, provide me a copy of your 501c3 status. It's a legitimate document that they can verify that they're nonprofit.
Now, a lot of these faith charities are still calling people. What would be one of the safeguards if you're called? Of course, we all want to help firefighters and disabled children and folks with special needs participating in sports. Is giving money over the phone, responding to one of these solicitations, that could be a problem, right?
Absolutely. I am completely against that. I'm very giving, but when I never like to do anything over the phone or over the email. I'm a believer that when you're doing any these types of interactions, they need to be physically on the phone or physically in person. So okay. I strongly discourage that type of practice. I think it's just too risky right now, unfortunately.
Me too. How about falsifying income to claim credit?
Yeah.
You know, I think an old comedian that Richard Pryor maybe, would put down he had 8 or 9 kids, and then, the IRS agent would come to the house and he'd have all the neighborhood kids in there and he wouldn't know the names, and it was funny. But what about falsifying income to claim credit? That's not so funny, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, the earned income credit is the most watched credit out there. It's essentially a welfare credit. And, a lot of people put frivolous, names on their returns, or, distort their income to reduce their income so that they could qualify for this refundable tax credit. Like I said, it all comes down to having a legitimate tax preparer doing your return that knows what they're doing. You just need to be careful about that. And, like I said, if you red flag your, you show low income and you can't justify that income for your lifestyle, you're going to get audited. So it's
all right.
I'm going.
We've got a couple more here. We'll hopefully touch on. How about frivolous tax arguments?
Frivolous tax arguments. You're gonna see all these case laws. I mean, people have an argument for just about anything. Like I said, anytime you have a tax argument, you gotta have something to document it, whether it's case law, whether it's a situation that was documented in a situation. You're never going to be able to justify a position unless you have case law or another circumstance with which the IRS provided a safe harbor to. So always got to make sure you got your ducks in line before you're ready to argue. You don't want to get caught saying something that you have no substance behind it. So
yes, and as we close up here, what is the burden of proof here when you're dealing with a tax argument?
Well, the burden of proof a lot of times is, number one, in the source material that you have, and number two is, it's got to be evidenced by some type of case code. So a lot of times when I'm representing clients in front of the IRS, they ask for documentation for a deduction. I give them an invoice, and we have some type of reasoning as to why we deducted that. Like, for example, in a business, if you have a car, you have a miles. You incur miles. Well, you need a mileage log. You got to produce a mileage log, and you got to produce some evidence that those are legitimate people that you do business with. So it just gets behind always anticipating you're going to get audited, Dan, and making sure that you have all your ducks in line. And any argument or position you take on a return is supported by some type of case law.
Excellent. All right, great stuff. We're up against the clock here. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Melody. Thank
you,
everyone.
You got it, guys.
For listening in, and we will chat soon, Chris. Have a great rest of the day. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.